This is episode 178 on September 22nd, 2016.
Set your photo apps down, iPhone photographers. It's time for Tiny Shutter Podcast.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Tiny Shutter Podcast, where we talk about iPhone photography and other things. I'm Joseph Ferreira.
And I am Matt Hoffman.
Welcome back, Matt. How are you doing, man?
I am doing A-OK, Joe.
Good deal. What have you been up to?
Well, I've been having a lot of fun since we last talked. Last week, at the end of the week, I took a day off work, which was much needed.
Nice.
And drove up to north central Ohio on Lake Erie. Took a ferry boat over to an island called Kelly's Island. Uh-huh. And had my kayak loaded on top of my car and met up with a couple other buddies. And we kayaked around the island. And it was totally what I needed. I had such a blast. The whole day, all we did was just play in waves, just surf in waves and crash head on into waves.
Nice.
And it was just a riot. It was so much fun. I sailed my kayak a little bit. I got a sail for it and tried that out. And actually, I had a wave come and break my sail.
Oh, no.
So I have to fix it. But it was just epic. And then I made some videos with like a action camera that I have while we were out kayaking. And I think I posted them, I think on Instagram. Pretty sure I posted them on Instagram and on like my personal Facebook or whatever. So if anyone follows me on Instagram, you could definitely see those videos. And I think I'll have some more to share pretty soon here. And then I really just made kind of a day of it and kind of took the ferry back off the island in the evening and made it over to a place called Marblehead, which is like a point from the mainland that kind of juts out into Lake Erie. And there's this really awesome lighthouse there. You know, it looks like a lighthouse that you would see like on the Outer Banks or something. You know, it's really a pretty cool lighthouse. And I wanted to go there for sunset. And so I got there and I had my iPhone, obviously, and my Sony camera. And I did some pictures with the Sony camera, but I ended up just having a blast shooting with the iPhone and did a little bit of videos there and did a ton of simulated long exposures with slow shutter cam. And I don't know, man, I just had a blast.
That's cool. Yeah, if I was a good friend / co-host, I would have seen your videos, but I forgot. But
that's okay. You're busy. You have four kids. It's all good.
Yeah. I tell you what, the youngest two are I guess they're competing to see who can drive us up the wall. So, you know, they're both at a very close first, but yeah. Yeah, it's been totally crazy for me. This is my first week in my new position at work, and I've been training one of the new guys who got the same position. We have to know set of skills too, including what I'm going to be learning shortly. But it's been a whirlwind of training and trying to get stuff done. And Matt and I were talking earlier, and we was like, today, wait, what's today? It's just this week has flown right by. And so just you know, in those times you're like, okay, you know, how do you wind and kind of wind down from the day at work and everything. And for me, it's, you know, being able to look at photos or edit some photos. So I was doing some editing this week, but this weekend I took some pictures for a website, and sometimes you get in a situation where you can't control the environment around you. You can do it as much as you can with angles and everything, but it never quite works out the way you want it to. So I took some portraits of a gentleman, and there happened to be people in the background. So I was like, how do you kind of get rid of those people? And so it was something that I thought it would be good for us to talk about today. So let me
getting rid of people.
Yeah, getting rid of people.
This is going to be our most downloaded episode ever.
Here, let me hit this.
Focus point.
So my question is, when is it okay and when is it not okay to remove people or objects from an image? Because we've had countless news articles about photographers who remove things from photos, and one in particular, what was his name? The National Geographic photographer. I think I've forgotten it because we talked about it so much.
Steve McCurry.
Yes, thank you. All right, Steve McCurry. And, you know, it's funny because but the photography crowd, the pitchforks and the torches, typically come out whenever something happens. And, you know, so you kind of have to take things with a grain of salt. But whenever the pitchforks and the torches come out, it's like, everything's bad. Why? I can't believe that somebody would do this. And yet it happens every day. And it's not like, you know, it's a crime to do it unless you're totally influencing something, but we try every day to influence people with our images. And so this image in particular that I shot had somebody in the background that you can totally tell was there. There was no getting away from it. It wasn't like, oh, maybe they can see it or maybe they couldn't see it. But the person in the background was probably about 50 feet away and out of focus. But they were wearing a nice bright red shirt. So red typically is a color that will draw the eye, and there was no getting away from it. So I tried a couple apps to remove the person, and one of them was terrible. It was definitely noticeable. And then another one was perfect. And I'll tell you, the one that was terrible is one of my favorite apps. It's Snapseed. There's no way to be able to fix that problem with Snapseed. It's not the best choice. But the second app is the one I want to talk about. But first, let's hear what Matt has to say about this subject.
Well, it's funny. I was going to actually say, I always use Snapseed for that kind of thing, but, I guess it just depends how complex the removal is and what it needs to fill in its place. But generally when I need to do that, I have pretty good luck with Snapseed. But, also what I usually do is I'll zoom in as much as humanly possible on the photo. That way I don't get like too much overlap, and that kind of cuts down a lot on any kind of weird stuff that'll happen when it tries to fill in what you're trying to erase.
Snapseed, it has it's not select. Let me pull up the exact, grab my phone real quick. I'm going to open up Snapseed and the image see here. It's the healing option. So you can highlight an area, and then what Snapseed is going to do is it's going to try to remove whatever you had right there and fill in the gap. And typically, unless it's like a spot or something that's fairly simple in a small area, it doesn't do a very good job. Actually, let me rephrase that. It's terrible. No dancing around it. It's terrible. So I did the best I could in Snapseed, and I showed it to my wife, and I said, "Do you notice anything in particular about this image?" And she looked at it and goes, "What is that a rock over there with a happy face or a grumpy face or something like that?" And this was inside of a building. It wasn't outside in nature. And so I was like, "Yeah, no, that's not." I showed her the original image and she goes, "Oh, yeah. Yeah, you can totally tell, you know, that something was there." You know, if I, and then also for the simple fact that, you know, she could tell that something was kind of funny about the photo before I showed her, to me, it was like, all right, I got to try something different. A number of episodes back, I've mentioned this app in particular. It's called Handycam, and it's a favorite of mine. Actually, it's called, Handy Photo. It's a very, it's a very good app, I have to say. Yeah, I don't do everything in this app. You know, Snapseed's my go-to. But Handy Photo is amazing when it comes to removing objects from a photo, because it took the person out and created a background where the person was to make it almost seamlessly perfect. I had two lines coming down. Actually, it looked like wood beams coming down. He was in part of one and part of the other, and they didn't fully come all the way to the floor. And when I cropped it or circled the area, it made it look almost perfect. And you know, we know that Photoshop has their content aware fill. And I have to say, for an app like this, it's like, why do you even buy Photoshop when it does such a good job? So back to the question, when is it okay and when is it not okay to remove things from an image? Matt, what would be an example of not okay?
Well, I mean, not okay is just like any time you're doing something that's supposed to be like photojournalistic.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're trying to report on something like, you know, some kind of news item or something, you want to, you know, show things exactly as they are.
Yeah.
But literally, that's like, in my opinion, one of the only times that it's not okay.
Right. What about somebody's physique? You know, removing areas that would cause them to look different than they actually are.
Well, I think that's really more on the client. Or the, you know, the person getting their picture taken to kind of dictate what they want than it is the photographer. But I mean, if nothing is said about that, then I don't have any issue with maybe like some subtle teeth whitening or you know, maybe removing a big giant pimple or something to that effect.
Bill, I mean, Bill in the chat room says beer bellies.
I mean, I would never, as a photographer, take it upon myself to change the way somebody's body or face is shaped. To me, that's kind of going a little too far, unless the person dictates that that's what they want.
Then
that's fine. But, you know, I've always heard that, you know, there's some people out there that say, well, you know, a portrait should represent how you are at that moment. But who wants to look back on a portrait that they had done, like, let's say 10 years from now and be like, look at that giant pimple I had. You know what I mean? Like, nobody wants to do that. So, you know, in I think in most situations, just some, you know, light touch-ups are fine.
Yeah. Well, okay, Snapseed came out with, at the same time that they had the raw editing, they also had a feature, it's in the filters, called Face. And what that does is it removes blemishes, stuff that would, it's sort of like a auto magic, let me look, make you look better type tool. And so, you know, there was this, I think when, I want to say it was probably about 5-6 years ago, maybe 7 years ago, there was a real push against people doing touch-ups. And it had a lot to do with magazines, covers on magazines, whether it's manipulating the body or taking blemishes off of the face. There was a real pushback that started to happen. And rightly so, because I think there's a lot of people that have issues with their own body image and what they're seeing others look like is not true to form on how they are. So there was a lot of manipulation, and there has gradually been a large pushback on it. But, you know, that doesn't mean that, you know, removing something, say you have an image that looks perfect all except for this one little spot, you know, does that take away from the image? Does that spot, whether it's like a leaf or a car or a person, does it take away from the image? Or are we becoming lazy and just removing things because we can, because we couldn't, you know, or we didn't wait long enough for the people to pass? So, you know, what are we trying to do with our images? Are we trying to manipulate people? Or are we trying to get the best picture ever? You know, and does it matter?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's really hard to, you know, speak for everybody, but just, you know, how I do my own photography, you know, especially my iPhone photography, you know, depending on the situation, I might not have time to wait for the scene to be exactly the way I want it to be.
Yeah.
You know, so I'll just take the picture, you know, in the moment that I have available to me, whether it's perfect or not. And I do rely on apps to help me get it to the way that I would prefer it to be. But if I have the time, like for instance, this, you know, past weekend when I was at the area with the lighthouse on Lake Erie, I was there by myself. I didn't have anybody like waiting on me, or I didn't have to, you know, try to keep my son from jumping in the lake or something like that, you know, so yeah. I was able to focus on what I was doing and pretty much take as much time as I wanted to take. You know, the only thing that was really rushing me then was the fading light. You know, but I was able to take my time to compose the way I wanted and, you know, wait for, you know, the perfect set of waves to roll in or whatever it was that I wanted. But even in those pictures, I still did, you know, some editing that maybe some people would find questionable. Like I basically added color and added light to the skies that wasn't really there.
Uh-huh.
But that's just because that's the way I wanted it to look. And it's not a photojournalistic piece by any means. You know, the pictures I took, I wasn't there to record things exactly as they were. I was there to, you know, make a picture that people are going to enjoy looking at. And, you know, like we've discussed before, I do try to not go so far as to make a scene look totally fake.
Uh-huh.
But I do tend to remove some of the reality from the scene. But, you know, that's those kind of pictures. When I'm taking pictures of like my family and stuff like that, I don't do that kind of stuff for the most part.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a little lighter on the editing and everything.
Yeah. I think images that we create are our own, whether or not we do photojournalistic or we add things to it or take them away. You know, the images are ours. And I think images are meant to be either preserved or manipulated as we choose. You know, whether somebody likes it or not, that's debatable. You know, Bill says some photographers freak out if a photo is cropped. Well, that's kind of, I would say, how do you not... you know, or no, that's kind of counter to the statement that they would be making, because there's no way to not have an image that's not cropped. You know, by capturing that image, it's cropped. You know, everything around it has been left out of the picture. So whether or not it's what the camera caught altogether, or you go in and you crop out, it just, I don't think that matters. Now, true, if it is a news outlet of some sort of a photojournalistic enterprise, if you do crop out things out of your image, you can sway the story. There's things that can be done to sway people's opinions based off of an image that I think has a lot to do with ethics. But when it comes to something that is more artistic or fun, you know, I think it's perfectly all right to crop things out or manipulate your image, you know, because we like looking at things. Do we want to have... say a telephone pole, you know, in the background? Typically not. So we try to find ways of taking the picture without the telephone pole. But if we can't, guess what? You can remove it. You know, if you were trying to put it on your website, or say you take pictures of a house that's for sale and you crop that stuff out, yeah, that's not good. You know, that's misleading, and people get upset over that because they probably drove miles to go see the house. Oh, that looks great. It looks like it's in the perfect, you know, location. And all of a sudden they get there and there's this large nuclear power plant behind them putting out steam, you know. You know, so be judicious when it comes to removing or adding things to your image, and make sure you're not trying to mislead people. You know, tell a story, you know, and if it requires removing or adding, go ahead and do it. But may also make sure that you're not doing anything that would cause somebody to be upset or to question your ethics.
Definitely. Well, I've been looking at this at the website for this handy photo app, and it looks pretty sweet.
I think I'm going to
probably download that. But I still think Snapseed does a good job. And I also use Nlight, surprise, surprise, for removal. Although I don't like Nlight as much because it's a more of like a clone stamp.
Okay.
The way that it works, I like the way Snapseed works in that you just can draw over the, you know, whatever you want to remove and have it, quote unquote, intelligently erase it.
Yeah.
So I like that a little better. There's actually another app too that I use that does a really stellar job for that kind of stuff, and I'm going to tell you what it's called in just a second here. It is called, well, on my phone, it's just called Retouch, but I think the actual name of the app is Touch Retouch.
Yeah,
that is a very good app for doing this type of stuff. Yeah, it's called Touch Retouch. It's a very solid app for removing objects. It does a really fantastic job.
Yeah, it looks like, let's see here. It looks like Touch Retouch is $1.99 in the App Store. And what does it say for Handy?
Oh, that's a good question.
I'll have it.
It says, come on, Internet. It says $2.99.
Yeah.
So, but Touch Retouch, all you're doing with that is using it to remove stuff. This Handy Photo looks like a pretty full-featured editor.
It is. I mean, the cloning is amazing. You can actually crop and remove something out of one photo and add it to another. And like I said, the content aware fill tool that they have is, I think, phenomenal. And what I'll do is I will add it. I'll put the image, the before, the after with Snapseed, and then the before and after with Handy Photo on Facebook so that you guys can see the difference that I was able to make in that image. So
you want to know something kind of ironic?
What's that?
Handy Photo and Touch Retouch are made by the same developers.
Oh, that is funny. Let's see.
No wonder they're so good.
Yeah. And I'm actually surprised that they haven't like been bought up by somebody bigger. Avidsoft, and Advasoft, yeah, that's very cool. We'll have links for all of those in the show notes for this episode. Let us know what you guys use for editing, whether it's for adding stuff or removing or doing some sort of a content fill. And, you know, show us some examples. Tell us why you like that app and how it does better. But also, the $2.99 is well worth it because I am simply amazed sometimes at what Handy Photo can do.
Very cool. Yeah, I think I'm going to give that a download.
Sweet. All right, let's go ahead and do this. Post pick of the week. All right. Well, we just finished our second week of 7. And people are like, what? No, our last weekly photo challenge was 7. So, and we had a lot of submissions and some creative ones. And it is my turn to pick. And, oh, shoot. Let me make sure. Would have helped if I had brought up Facebook. Here it is. All right. Of course. Let's see here. All right. So the submission that I chose was done by...
Drum roll.
Christopher Hannigan. And he had submitted 2 images of almost the same thing, but it's the second image that he had posted that I like the most. It's of a die, and it's a metal die that is used to imprint into metal. And he's got a hammer, and this particular die was 7, and I thought it looked pretty neat. I think the lighting and the color or lack of color, along with the hammer, I think makes for an awesome image. What do you think?
Yeah, I like it because I can relate to it kind of like I do sales at a steel plant, a steel making place. And some of the areas that I go into, they use those little stamps.
Yeah.
And I really like it. I mean, he definitely set it up really nice with the hammer and everything. The light is good on it. There's lots of contrast, which I like. And that 7 is very prominent. And I like how he laid the stamp just right above where the number 7 is actually stamped into the steel plate. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of almost like this mirror image effect for the number 7. It's definitely a cool picture. I like it. And it's very unique too. We haven't really had a lot of like industrial kind of pictures in our photo contest. So I really like it.
Yeah. Very cool. Well, congratulations, Christopher. You are our post pick of the week. Almost couldn't talk. If you would like to be chosen as post pick of the week, go onto Facebook and look for our weekly photo challenge, where we go through and find an image that you guys are producing and submitting, and we will pick one that is used for our album art and also the cover photo for the Facebook group. And it is awesome to see the work that you guys produce. When I show people our website and they see all the images for each episode, they're like, wow, they did that with an iPhone? I'm like, yep, you guys are very talented, and it's very fun to be able to showcase your work. So if you haven't joined Facebook, do it. Go on there, look for iPhonography, a tiny shutter group, and you will find us there. And if you're having a hard time finding it, go to our show notes and look for the link. All right. Now we need to figure out what we're going to do this week. So any suggestions?
I was trying to think of some sort of challenge where we remove an object from a photo.
Oh,
but I can't think of like how we would work that though, because you'd kind of have to post the original as well.
Yeah. How about bad Photoshop jobs?
No, I don't want anyone to purposely do that.
It's just, oh, that'd be so much fun. all right. How about, I still like the bad Photoshop job, so.
I would end up over posting.
Huh. All right. Well, do you want to do, say, a particular color?
Like, oh, well, all I can think of is obvious ones this time of year, like orange.
Yeah, we're starting to move. Us in the northern hemisphere are starting to, we're venturing towards fall. We're starting to move out of the summer months. So maybe we should hold on to that and actually wait for when we actually do move into the fall colors. So, all right. So I'm trying to think. How about we do, let's pick Handy Photo and post images that we've manipulated in Handy Photo.
Okay.
And that'll give people a chance to play with the app and post something. Maybe they can post a before and after. Or we could just make this one a before and after instead of just that
in particular. Yeah, why don't we do that?
Okay. So instead of doing a specific app, let's do a before and after and let's post our final product in the pre-product and be able to do something like that. So, all right.
Very cool.
Cool. All right. Is there anything else that you wanted to bring up?
No, not this week. No, I'm still playing around with all that raw photo stuff.
Yeah.
I still have a lot more playing around to do before I really have anything substantial to say about it.
Yeah. A buddy of mine let me borrow his 5D Mark II, so I'm going to shoot some RAW with that and play with that full-frame camera and manipulate some images. So I have some stuff to do this weekend, and I will report back on that. So, all right, let's go ahead and do this.
We came, we saw, we kicked its ass.
And...
barely.
Matt, why don't you tell everybody where they can find you?
All right. You can check me out on Instagram. I am Twitter and Flickr at M Hoffman Photo.
Excellent. You can find me on Instagram at Joseph Ferreira. You can find the show notes, links to the apps that we discussed, links to Facebook and other things by going to tinyshutter.com. And if you haven't joined Facebook, like I said before, please join. We've had a number of people just this last week join our Facebook group, and we're creeping up on 500. And, you know, we're getting a lot of people that are doing some amazing stuff, and we do also have other people that haven't posted anything. I think they want to see what others are doing, but I encourage you guys, you know, if you can, post something in there, whether it's part of the weekly photo challenge or something that you've done. Let us know what kind of apps you're using and how you're able to manipulate your photos or how you capture them. And, you know, just let us know or just say hi. You know, we enjoy talking to you guys. So it's a great place to have some conversation. All right. Oh, and lastly, if you are interested in supporting our show, we have a Patreon. Go to tinyshutter.com and look at our show notes, and you will find the link to our Patreon. And we would very much appreciate it, and we would love to do some stuff with you guys with the Patreon. So please take time to think about it and join us. All right, Matt, I think we are done.
All right.
why don't you say goodbye to everybody?
All right, everybody. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this podcast, head over to iTunes and leave us a review and a 5-star rating. See you next week.
Everything's perfectly all right now. We're fine. We're all fine here now. Thank you. How are you?
Kowalski, what's our trajectory?
95% certain this will end in massive, claiming disaster.
And the other 5%?
Irrelevant, sir.
This is a great shot, Mav. I should be a photographer.
Barely.
chat room, this is for you.
Your behavior is completely inappropriate.